If you're in the market for a new mobile device, specifically a tablet, there are plenty of options available. Now, after deciding what platform you prefer, you could also be faced with a range of choices that affect the performance of the device. Now, you might think it's as simple as choosing the device with the highest core count, but it seems that that's somewhat of a myth. And on the line, I have Dion Stoysablovic from Intel Australia to explain. G'day, Dion.
G'day, Andrew. How you going?
Excellent, as usual. Now, Dion, what exactly is this myth that you're going to bust for us today, and how's it come about?
Well, as you've described, Andy, we're going to be talking about tablets today, and in particular, whether the number of cores is a way to determine the performance of a tablet.
Now, of course, not everyone is technically minded, and I guess they don't necessarily have to be. So, but when we hear about a device having two cores, four cores, however many cores in their processors, what does that mean?
That's a great question. So I think, first of all, we'll really quickly describe what the cores are referring to. So
okay.
What Intel makes is a processor. The processors are also sometimes called a CPU, which stands for Central Processing Unit.
Mm-hmm.
And as that describes very clearly, that it actually does all the processing for the device. Now, I like to think of it like an engine of a car. But that processor can be divided into different cores. When processors were first created, they were all just called processors because they only had one core.
Right.
And then as they developed, we had two, four, and more cores. Each of those cores, essentially, are individual processors that do the processing for your device. And what that processing is reading and executing the instructions from all of your programs.
But what you're saying is just because something has more cores inside doesn't mean it's necessarily higher performing.
Exactly. Now, you would think that typically that would be a fairly easy logical explanation. It has more cores, it would perform better. But I guess the key consideration is it only executes or performs programs that are written specifically for multiple cores.
Right.
If a program or, let's say, your favourite app on your tablet is only written to take advantage of one core, you could have a quad-core processor and three of them would be sitting idle while anyone's working. So you don't have a big benefit in that circumstance.
So in terms of, say, tablet devices, are many developers still writing to that, I guess, sort of base of a single-core processor then?
Well, I guess it depends on the complexity of the app. If the program is very simple, then it would probably still only be written for one, and it wouldn't really have much of a performance lag because it's very simple. A lot of apps now are written to take use of dual core. Most processors now are at least dual core and growing, and I'm sure that there are more higher-end apps that also do take advantage of more cores, but these are still in their infancy at the moment.
So it sounds like there's a little bit of misinformation going around when it comes to promoting devices and what their actual performance level is. So what are some of the statements, I guess, we should listen out for or look out for when we are looking at a tablet device in terms of performance?
Well, I guess the technology is really rapidly advancing so quickly that sometimes you're just looking for an easy way to measure that. So for manufacturers to call out the number of cores, it's a really easy way.
Hmm.
Just like we used to call out the gigahertz or megahertz as a speed.
Yes.
But as the technology changes, they become more difficult. Core count still is important depending on the circumstance. So if you're looking at more of a Windows-based tablet, it's more likely you'll do some more computing-based traditional software kind of applications, which may take use of more. Mm-hmm. If you're in an Android environment, you're more than likely to have, simpler applications that may be utilising less cores.
Okay, it does sound a little bit like the confusion we had many years ago with your traditional desktop and notebook computers, where again we sort of lost track of things because we used to get the processor speed in terms of gigahertz and whatever, and then Intel really straightened that out by flipping across to the different core processor families that were easy to understand, i3 for entry level. Then i5 for mid and then i7 for high performance processing. Is that maybe a solution, for the future of mobile devices as well? Is making that labeling easier and along with some consumer awareness?
It's a great question. So there's a couple of things at play here. So the core processors that you talked about are all part of our performance family.
Mm-hmm.
We do have then Atom, which is typically used in most tablet devices.
That's right.
Celeron and Pentium, which are kind of classic entry-level products, and then Core, So all of those products are available in tablet. You have some very high-end tablets that utilize high-end core processors or entry-level. So that the family is certainly, that's what we call each of those brands, is certainly one way to determine. You would expect that anything with a core would be a higher performing product than an Atom, for example. And then within those families, you have speed. But, you know, speed is a relative term too, which has changed. In fact, Andy, I was looking at some data about the current Formula One season and how they've changed to a smaller 1.6-litre engine. And I thought, you know, a 1.6-litre engine in an F1 car takes it 0 to 100 in 2.5 seconds, but a 1.6-litre engine in a Ford Fiesta, the current model, does it in about 14.5 seconds. So even that, similar with a processor, one label that's the same kind of measurement has really different results.
That's actually a really good comparison, you know, on this topic, because I was actually just thinking before that, you know, people might thinking, oh, well, you know, what's the difference between, say, a car with a V6 engine and a car with a V8 engine? Well, I guess traditionally a V8 has got more grunt, but now when you're actually talking about that engine size in terms of litres, it's what, you know, what they're actually doing with that smaller engine that that gives it the performance, right?
Oh, absolutely. And the other thing is, and because we're talking about tablets, a lot of it's to do with form factor. When you look at like an F1 car, it has a certain form factor. It's just purely designed for speed, and you would expect that to perform very quickly. When you looked at a, you know, entry-level small sedan, you wouldn't have the same expectation. So when you buy a tablet, you're buying a device that's thin, light, that you can take away with you. You have different considerations. You're not expecting high-end, you know, blistering fast desktop performance, but you do want battery life that lasts all day. You want enough performance to play HD movies or, you know, casual gaming or, you know, productivity apps. So, you know, I guess to make it easier, you asked me a fairly simple question. Mm-hmm. You know, my first answer is look for Intel as that powers your tablet. And then have a look at what kind of OS you're looking for. And then, you know, the form factor, tablet or some of the new 2-in-1 devices as well.
Now, Dion, it's all great to talk about, you know, various processor families, everything that's available. But it's worth noting that Intel isn't actually inside a lot of tablet devices at the moment. Well known for being, you know, all these PCs over the years branded Intel inside. But what are you guys exactly doing in the tablet and mobile space?
Well, that's true, Andy, and it's a good question. Intel were a relative latecomer to tablets. We were very well established in notebook and PC, and by the time we developed low-power devices suitable for tablets, there was quite a well-established market. So there is a lot of confusion. People assume that we're in everything. So it's nice that they give us credit for all of those devices, but you really ensure that you look for Intel. There's a growing amount of devices out there. Some fantastic 2-in-1 devices as well that operate as a tablet and a notebook. A few of the best-selling devices out there in the moment do have Intel in them as well. So there are plenty to look at and many more on the horizon.
For anyone who is still a little bit confused by core processors and deciding factors on the choice of tablet devices, Intel has provided a great little document, which we've got on the Tech Daily website. Dion, thanks again for coming on Tech Daily today.
You're welcome, Andy. Thanks for having me.